This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the podcast. My energy is up for today's episode. Even though I'm recording in the car again, don't feel bad for me. I do have a home, but I am out of town and had to be out of my hotel, and it's Sunday, so I thought about a library, but that is not an option. The good part of recording in my car is that I have a special guest with me today who I will be introducing in just 1 minute. The reason I tell you that I'm in my car is because if you hear traffic sounds or doors slamming, well, I'm in a parking lot in my car, so now you know. And if you hear coughing or sniffling or any weird noises, it is my guest's fault, but more on that in a minute. Before I introduce my special guest for today's episode, let's all get on the same page first. So last week, I was doing a 100-hour fast. I didn't set out to do 100 hours. I didn't really have an initial goal. Don't worry, this episode is not about fasting. Just a little backstory. I didn't set out with an end goal to my fast, but I wanted to do a short fast for personal reasons, and I was sharing a little bit about it on Instagram. Got a ton of questions about fasting last week, but I also got an unusually high number of questions about debt, finances, which you might think is a little bit weird. We'll get into that in just 1 second. But I put a poll up on Instagram and said, what would you rather Monday's episode be about, fasting or debt? And by a landslide, the answer was debt. Now, for those of you that are wondering why people ask me about that, I am not a financial advisor. I don't play one on the internet. But a lot of people have found me, have found Primal Potential through Dave Ramsey, who is a financial expert. And the reason that so many people have found me through Dave Ramsey is because I have shared very publicly that a major transformative experience in my life was going through his process for becoming debt-free. Dave Ramsey has a radio show, has a podcast, has written a number of books, and many years ago, I read Total Money Makeover and decided to go through his process. This was when I was probably close to the heaviest of my life, around 350 pounds, and getting out of debt is one of the things that taught me so much about discipline, about sacrifice, about not having to give in to the urge of every moment. And it really is a big part of how I began to change my entire life. Making some changes to my financial situation, big changes. I paid off about $130,000 in debt and have remained debt-free. It really started there. It started with the disciplines that are required when you change your financial situation. So for that reason, a lot of people are curious about how I got started, how I did it, if I was married at the time, if my spouse was on board, how you get on the same page, all of that kind of stuff, motivation, yada, yada, yada. That's what we are diving into today. But just for the sake of super, super clarity, I am not a financial advisor. I am not playing one here. I am not giving advice on your situation, but many of you did submit questions, and I'm just going to give my opinion. If I were you, this is how I would think about it, but please do not confuse yourselves. I'm not qualified to give financial advice. I've just created financial success in my life when it was tough to do, when my income was lower, when my spouse wasn't excited about changing his spending habits, all of that. For those of you that are like, oh, bummer, I wish you were talking about fasting. Fear not, friend. I have done a number of episodes on fasting 37, like 037, way back when, was on intermittent fasting. Most recently, episode 469 was about fasting, as well as episodes 307, 310. All you gotta do is go to primalpotential.com, search fasting. You'll have plenty to read and listen to. Here's the way today will go down. We actually might end up breaking this into two episodes depending on how long it runs, but what you will hear from me is what I did, how I got out of debt, the process I used, how I stuck to my budget, how I stayed motivated, the details. You will also hear from my special guest, including the process that they went through. And then I will answer all of the questions that you guys sent in via Instagram. If you're thinking, oh, I didn't know we can submit questions. You still can. I'm not going anywhere. Just head over to the show notes page for today's episode. You can get to the show notes page. Everybody listen. I'm only going to say this once. That's not true. I'll probably say it again. primalpotential.com/521. This is episode 521. So primalpotential.com/521. Look, I already said it a second time. See? So generous. And you can leave a comment on the show notes page if you have any questions, or you can send me a direct message on Instagram. And if there are a fair amount of questions, we'll do a follow-up episode. So no worries. My special guest is my sweet sister, Debbie. And before I introduce Debbie, I'll tell you why she is here. It's not just because she is in my car. I actually asked her to meet me in a parking lot to record this episode, even though she's a little bit under the weather, because she is currently in the process of getting out of debt. And this has been a bit of a struggle for her for years and years and years. Now, I was not always good with money, but I would say I've always been maybe a little bit better with money than Debbie is. Is that fair, Debbie?
That's fair, yes.
Okay. So, and we're sharing a microphone, so for all of you audio snobs, sorry, we're doing the best we can. So Debbie is currently in the process of getting out of debt. And while my biggest struggle in life to overcome and constantly be working on has very much been more about food and fat loss and physique, for Debbie, I think her big rock and her ongoing area has been money and debt. Right, Dee?
Yes.
Okay. Give me just a second to like get the mic over to your face before you jump in with a response, will you please? Okay. I'm not that lightning fast. She's always been faster than me too. Anyways, Debbie is currently in that process. And while I'm a little bit further down the road in terms of I became debt-free a few years ago and have stayed that way, Debbie wasn't quite as eager to get on board with the financial responsibility and pay down debt program. She is a social worker and has a tremendous amount of student loans and really felt for a very long time like she just wasn't going to get out of debt. It wasn't possible. She didn't make enough money to do so. And that really was a sticking point for her for a while. And any extra money she did have, she wanted to do things. She wanted to travel. She wanted to go out with friends. She wanted to go to concerts. And so she wasn't taking the discretionary money that she did have, as small as it was, and putting it towards debt. But that has very much changed. So we are coming at this both with a desire for our own financial responsibility and both very much with a desire to be and stay debt-free, but at different points in the journey and having had to overcome different struggles. Like for me, when I did it, I was married and my husband wasn't excited to get started. And for Debbie, she has been single going through this process, but had some more significant mental reservations. I was excited. I was ready to go. Nothing was going to hold me back. It took Debbie a while to warm up to the idea. Is there anything there that I misstated?
Nope, that's all accurate.
Okay, so the first thing we're going to do, I'm going to share a little bit of my process, my journey, and then we're going to go into Debbie's, which was very different and still ongoing, but she has made insane progress. In fact, like not even a week ago, I got a text message in the middle of the week from Debbie, and tell them what your text to me said.
That I had paid off my last credit card.
She had paid off her last credit card! Dude, you would have thought that she told me that she like got a job at NASA. You know, well, I wouldn't be too excited. That's far away. But I was so pumped because I know what a big deal that is. Now, She still has student loans, but that represents a crazy huge milestone in my sweet sister's life. So she's very much in it. I'm going to share my story. She's going to share hers. And then we are going to get into your questions. And they range from the nuancey stuff, like, should I be? Do you think I should be? Because again, I'm not a financial advisor. Neither is my sister. My background's in nutrition. Debbie's is in psychology and social work and all that kind of stuff. So like, we're just sharing our story here, giving our thoughts. But some people want to know, you know, should I be investing or should I be paying down debt? Should I focus on a credit card with the lowest balance or should I focus on a credit card with the highest interest rate? And then some of the other questions are like, how do I overcome the overwhelm? How do I get over this sense that I'm missing out? How do I stay focused? How do I stick to a budget? That sort of stuff. So lots and lots of questions from you guys. Let's just go with how I started. As I said a couple minutes ago, I was not always good with money. Now, I wasn't ever terrible. I, you know, wasn't getting evicted, haven't had anything repossessed, but I remember the first thing I did when I graduated from college and got my first job was I got a car loan, brought a brand new car, couldn't afford the car, but told myself I could because I could afford the payment, which totally not the same thing. Then when I worked for a company that would do tuition reimbursement for ongoing education. So I was enrolled in a master's program for nutrition and had gotten loans for my tuition. And when the hospital I was working for cut me a check for the tuition reimbursement, I didn't put it towards those loans. I bought new furniture and I had furniture. I just wanted newer, nicer furniture. So that was stupid. And I had credit cards and all of that stuff. But you can change that. Your financial habits, as they've been to this point, aren't all you're capable of, right? Just like your nutrition habits that you've had to this point, that's not all you're capable of. You absolutely can create a change. I've created change in my finances. Debbie has as well. And not just with our habits, but very much, and maybe even more importantly, our mindset about money has been huge. And Debbie's going to talk a little bit about how that shifted for her, because I think that was the most important change she made, was changing her mindset about money first and foremost. That was way more important than any of the steps she took to make more money, spend less money, that sort of thing. When I was newly married, and even a little bit before I was married, I, as an adult, for the first time was realizing I'm working my butt off and get all excited about payday, but the money's already spoken for. My paycheck would get deposited into my account and it already had other places to go. It was already spoken for, meaning everything that came in was going to things I had already purchased. Whether that was a car loan, whether it was rent or a mortgage or credit card payments or furniture payments, you name it. I thought to myself, how will we ever enjoy our lives if the money we take home is already spent? It's already spent. And it seemed almost like a pipe dream for there to be a day when my paycheck would hit my bank account and I could do with it what I pleased. I knew that meant not having all of these bills, and that felt really impossible, but I knew, even if it would be hard, that it was within the realm of possibility. But I wasn't on my own. You know, I was either engaged or married. We started getting out of debt and getting serious about it after we were married, but I was really having these thoughts and feelings before we even got married, because we didn't have a lot of options. We wanted to get married. We wanted to go on a honeymoon. We weren't making terrible money. We were making decent money, but we had no flexibility because of our bills. That includes student loans. It included rent and utilities and all of that kind of stuff, as well as stupid stuff that we had already used and enjoyed that was charged to credit cards. So I decided that I wanted to say no more often to the little things, whether that was eating out or it was buying a new jacket or it was, you know, going away for the weekend, to try to create a situation where when I got paid, I could choose how to spend that money instead of having that decision already made for me. That was around the time that I read Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey, and I will link to that book in the show notes for today's episode, third time now, primalpotential.com/521. Dave Ramsey is the financial guru. I am merely a fan. I am a student. I am someone who has abided by his ideas and principles. He breaks this down, not just getting out of debt, but really creating financial freedom. He breaks it down into 6 steps. I read the book. I got excited about the 6 steps. Look, if you're like, well, now I have to spend money on a book, go to the library. Go to the library. You can get it for free. Step one is $1,000 in an emergency fund. That is number one. So that if you get a flat tire, it is no longer a household emergency. And I think we've all felt that before. That literally has happened to me, that I needed a new tire and I didn't have the money. And then you're at the point where you either charge it to a credit card or you have to borrow the money in some other way. And it is a terrible feeling. Newsflash. Those things are going to happen. Just last week, 2 weeks ago, I got a flat tire. Whether it's a flat tire or your water heater explodes or you have an unexpected medical bill, something will always come up. So step one for me that I took was $1,000 in the emergency fund. Step two is pay off all your debt except for your mortgage. Which is where people go, oh, well, I don't think I can do that. And I didn't either. At the time, for context, between me and my husband, we had about $130,000 in debt. And that was mostly student loans, some credit cards. I remember we tried to pay cash for our wedding, but there were a couple things where we just didn't have the money. And instead of saying, oh, sorry, we can't afford it, we charged it, which in hindsight, wouldn't do that again, but it's the decision we made. So we had some of that stuff as well. If you are thinking, I can't ever do that, just like we stay focused when it comes to fat loss and food choices on what you can do, the way that Dave Ramsey makes this really, really achievable, the process that I took, the process that my sister is currently taking, start with the smallest debt. For me at that point, I think there was a credit card that maybe had a balance of like $200, just over $200, between $200 and $300. You knock that one out and it's gone. And I'll get into the nuances of like where literally I started. But once you have that $1,000 in the savings account, your emergency fund, start with your smallest one. Do not psych yourself out with how far you have to go, just like it wouldn't be helpful at all to psych yourself out with how many pounds you think you have to lose. It's crazy. Like, you don't do it all in one day. But what is achievable is to get rid of that smallest one. So that is what I did. Literally, what I did first is I wrote down everything I owed. Everything. And there are a bunch of questions that we'll get to in a little bit about, you know, where do you start when you're totally overwhelmed or you've been ignoring your financial situation? Write down everything you owe. Everything. Every student loan, every credit card. Don't just say, like, I have X amount in credit card debt. The Visa has this much. The Amazon card has this much. The Gap card has this much. And I just created, I didn't have a special fancy schmancy tool. I had an Excel spreadsheet. And it was, this is the account. This is the total balance. This is the monthly payment. And the only thing I focused on was that smallest one. Now, there were some weeks, like at the beginning of the month when our mortgage payment was due, that we didn't have much extra that week to put towards it. So maybe it was like nothing, or it was $7. And some weeks it was $200. But what we would do is we would just tackle that smallest one until it was gone. Now, there are a lot of people that are like, I don't have extra money. And I know my sister felt that way. And we'll talk about her story in a couple minutes. But I reduced my cable subscription. You know, I cut down the plan. If I was single, I would have gotten rid of cable altogether. But my husband wasn't down for that. And so it was like, okay, well, what can we do? We're paying for all of these other channels that we don't watch. Call your cable company. Ask. Either get rid of it altogether, or if that is not a step that you are willing to take at this time, know that it is an option, but you don't have to choose to take it. We just started cutting back. If you have monthly subscriptions that you don't use, cancel them. I remember very specifically turning down the heat a little bit so that our monthly heating bill would be just a little bit less. Look for ways to dial back what you are spending. I stopped buying coffee out and started making coffee at home. I know my sister's done that as well. But there are ways to cut your expenses. So if you are in the boat of, I don't have extra money to put towards debt, yes, you do. You need to find it. Sell stuff. I had a bunch of things in the house, in the garage, as did my ex-husband, that we were like, let's list it on eBay. Let's list it on Craigslist. Since then, I've done it numerous times with an app called Let Go. There's a million things you can do. If you don't use it, sell it. Get rid of it. I remember I had a Jack LaLanne juicer. It's probably a $200 kitchen appliance, and I had used it maybe 5 times. It absolutely wasn't a necessity. Did I like it? Yes. Would it have been nice to keep it? Sure. Would I rather have the $45 I got from selling it at that time? Yep. Without question. Sell stuff. And the other option is make more money. My ex-husband started doing some freelance work on the side once he got on board, which we'll talk about in a second because he wasn't initially on board. But there is always a way, and my sister Debbie has been a great example of this, to find ways to make more. Now, not everybody is going to be able or willing to both spend less and make more. But let's not lie to ourselves and say that it's not an option, because it is. For me, I wasn't willing to take on a second job, but I was willing to cut my expenses down to the quick and eat out less often and be a little bit more mindful of driving around town so I could save some money on gas, things like that. So when you find that extra money, you are putting it all towards that smallest debt. Now, that's where most people are going to spend the majority of their time, is in paying down those debts one at a time. Just to go through the next steps in Dave Ramsey's process, which I personally have subscribed to, after you've paid off all your debt except for your mortgage, you're getting 3 to 6 months of expenses in savings. Then after that, you are consistently investing 15% of your income for your retirement. Then after that, you're going to fully fund your child's college expenses if you choose to do so. After that, you're going to pay off your mortgage. And then you're going to continue to build wealth and give. That is the 7th step. Give, 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 be generous, and build your own personal wealth. A lot of questions that we'll get to later on are about things like, well, why would you start with the smallest instead of the highest interest rate? It's about momentum and simplicity. But the most important thing is, like, do whatever you want. Do however it works for you. Just do something and stop telling yourself that you don't have options, because you do. The first thing that I did, as I mentioned, was put a list together. I used a simple Excel spreadsheet that I kept updating until we were debt-free, with just everything we owed to whom, what the total balance was. And if you're thinking, oh my God, I don't even want to know, that's silly. Knowing the reality doesn't change it. It's not any more real because you saw the number. And deciding that you would rather avoid it is irresponsible. And it's time to grow up. Face it. That is step one. Write down everything you owe, and you can choose to be dramatic and, oh my God, it was so scary and so depressing. It's already what it is. It doesn't change because you know the number. Face it. It's no different than what I used to do. I would skip my doctor's appointments because I didn't want to know how much I weighed. Well, I still weighed that much even though I didn't know the number. And facing it is a really important step, pulling your head out of the sand, in changing the reality, in changing the situation. The other thing that I began doing and would recommend as a first step is know where your money's going. Because most people who say, like, I don't have any extra to put towards debt, they're not paying attention to where their money is going. My sister's sitting here nodding. I can't wait for her to weigh in on this. But the people who say, no, there is no extra, if I looked at your checking account, there's extra in there. Whether it is the coffees or the dinners out or the concert tickets or the pair of shoes that were on sale, that's, hello, meet your extra. But you have to know where it is going. So I started writing down, and it was nothing fancy. I had a notebook, a spiral-bound notebook that is where I wrote down everything. Not just the big things. That's what people know. Oh, well, this is my mortgage. This is my rent. These are my utilities. These are my student loan payments, my car loan, blah, blah, blah. No, dude. How much did you spend when you walked in the gas station to get a bottle of water and a bag of nuts? How much did you spend when you went out last Friday night? On what? Write it all down. In episode 206 of the podcast, I talk about how my number one piece of advice for people who want to change their physical bodies is tracking. Well, it also happens to be my number one piece of advice for people who want to change their financial situation. You not only have to face what you owe, you have to face where your money is going. It is amazing to see that there actually is some fluff in there. Whether you call it cable, whether you call it Netflix, whether you call it girls' night, whether you call it the gifts you give to your family members on Christmas and holidays and yada, 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 or your friends or your spouse or your significant other, guess what? That's not mandatory. And you can absolutely make improvements there. So you got to write down what you owe, to whom, how much, your minimum payments. You've got to begin tracking every single cent. Every single cent that comes in and goes out. It's not enough to just glance at your bank statement. Nope. You need full awareness of what you are spending. Dave Ramsey and his team actually have a great tool. It is not one that I used. I don't think it was available when I was going through this, but it is available now. There's a free version and there's an upgraded version, but it's called Every Dollar. So if you want to be fancier than I was with my notebook and my Excel spreadsheet, you can use Every Dollar for budgeting. But you've got to know where your money is going, and not just the big stuff like mortgage, not just the monthly stuff either. Like, what bills do you have that you pay quarterly or semi-annually or annually? What are you spending money on when you walk into the gas station or at work or when the little kid knocks on the door selling Girl Scout cookies? Write it all down. I will share with you my approach to dealing with the fact that my ex-husband was not on board. I still can make a change. Even if he continued to spend and spend and spend, I had improvements that I could make with my spending. Because I was going to Chick-fil-A for breakfast almost every single morning. Well, that adds up. I can change that. I was going out to lunch a couple of afternoons a week. I could change that. I was shopping online at least once a week, whether it was a book or it was a piece of clothing or it was a box of protein bars. I could change that. I also really dialed down how much I was spending on the gifts I would buy for my family and my friends on birthdays and special occasions and things like that. So my first step was, I'm going to change my behavior. My second step was to explain to my husband what I wanted. What I wanted, not just for me, but for us. His perspective at the time, and he did turn around and get on board, and I know that if he and I had a conversation about it now, he would agree that it was the right thing and he's glad we did it. Even though we're not together anymore, he did come around. But what I explained to him is just what I shared with you. We were working our bums off and our money was already spoken for. And I hated that feeling. And while he felt like, hey, I work really hard, and if I want to, you know, buy myself new speakers for my TV room, or I want to buy a new laptop or a new iPad or blah, 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 I want to feel free to do that. And I said, it's not that you can't. But what I want us to do together is just be a little bit more strategic about those decisions so that we can create freedom to do way more. So that when we want to go on vacation, we can go. So that when we want to be generous and do something for someone in our family, we have that flexibility. So that when our paychecks come in, we are deciding what we want to do with that money. And it's not forever. It's a short-term sacrifice for long-term freedom, kind of like saying no to cookies. You know, you're not saying you're never going to have cookies again, but you want something more. So in addition to having that conversation and really and not being parental in it, like you can't buy this and you can't do that, but sharing the goal and the aspiration and the dream and the desire that's not just selfish, but really was for us as a family. That was a big part of it. Then the conversation was, well, what are you willing to do? Okay, you don't want to cut cable. Got it. Are you comfortable dialing back our plan? You don't want to never go out to eat. Well, what if we say we'll go out 3 times a month instead of once a week or instead of 3 times a week? What are you willing to do? Where can we give and take? Where can we meet in the middle? I was like, guess what? Our family members don't get any gifts until we're out of debt. And he was like, no. And I said, okay, well, what do you think is a reasonable budget number to set? And we came to an agreement on that. Then the other thing is, you know, celebrate. Because the first couple of months, there was a lot of grumbling and there was a lot of arguing. And when the little debts got paid off, it wasn't a big deal. But as the progress really started to build, he couldn't help but get excited. So don't be a jerk. Don't be selfish. Don't be a dictator and go from there. One of the things that we did is we had what we called blow money. And every week, and it was weekly because we worked for the same company where they paid us weekly. Every week we got a certain amount of like just discretionary money, and it was not a lot. Now, granted, it's very variable, right? I mean, me and my sister might define what that is differently, and it also depends on the frequency of your pay and if you have kids and yada, yada, yada. But that was money that we got to decide how we wanted to spend. So if he wanted to buy a new iPad, then maybe he'd have to save up his weekly discretionary money and not blow it on going out to lunch with his buddies or going out for beers or whatever, so that after a little while, he could buy that thing. For us, our gas money also came out of that, which was often an argument because he didn't think that was fair, but it ended up being that way. And I think we started with that being like $25 a week. Now, we lived close to work. If you're rolling your eyes going, well, that would never work for me, check yourself. That's really not the point. I'm not prescribing your blow money. I'm just sharing what we did. And so if I wanted to go out for lunch with a girlfriend, well, that's the budget that I was working with. My personality, I would often kind of save it up a little bit. And then if I wanted to get a pedicure or I wanted to buy a new pair of shoes, it took a while, but it was worth it to me at that time. And, you know, work with your partner to figure out what they're willing to do. And if they're willing to do nothing, fine, you do you. There is still a lot that you can do. All right. So that is kind of the process that I took and how we met in the middle. And it took a while. It didn't happen quickly, and things came up all the time. Just like you might be rolling along with fat loss and then you get sick or you have a bad week. Like, yeah, okay, keep going. Things are going to happen. Expenses are going to come up. It's not going to go according to plan. But the other part of it is budget conservatively. Have a little bit of wiggle room. Don't tell yourself, well, I'm only going to spend, you know, $20 a week on groceries if you know that that's completely not realistic. And I think that's one of the most common budgeting mistakes people make is that they're too ambitious with their budget. But honest to God, you learn by doing. So don't be concerned with creating a perfect budget to start and then beat yourself up if it doesn't go according to plan. This is the kind of thing that is an ever-living document, and it takes a lot of time to get it right. And I would be tweaking and adjusting on a regular basis, and things change. But the point is to take action and do something. The last strategy that I think was super, super important, and this is another one that comes from Dave Ramsey, is using cash. So I wouldn't pay our bills in cash. When we got paid, I'd go online, I'd make those payments, automated them wherever I could. But for things like groceries, our blow money, all of that kind of discretionary stuff, cash. I would go to the ATM after payday, I would pull it out. It is a lot harder to part with your cash than it is to put something on your debit card. So use cash. Dave Ramsey talks about something called an envelope system, and he even like sells one if you want to be fancy. I literally had just like a white envelope. I think I might have gotten from the dollar store like a little plastic divider thing, but it was my blow money, groceries, gifts. If we were saving up, you know, $10 a week would go to making sure that we had enough money come Christmas to buy for the people that we had decided collectively that we were going to buy for. That sort of stuff. Use cash. You will be much more mindful of your spending when you are using cash than when you are not. Okay, with that, I want to hear a little bit from Debbie. And one of the things that I'm most excited for Debbie to share is how her money mindset has changed. Because yes, she has made tremendous progress over the last almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years in November, and it is now late September. What was your mindset, Debbie, about money prior to the first Ascend event? Because we talked about your financial situation there publicly, and you made some really significant changes like the day the event ended. But prior to that, when you were in the thick of the struggle, what was your mindset about your debt and your income and your spending?
I think I was stuck in a place of scarcity for a really long time. So I thought that, you know, I didn't make enough money and I was basically going to be stuck paying off my debt for, you know, the 30-year, you know, period that the loan has or whatever. I didn't think I was going to be able to do it. It felt so impossible, so insurmountable that I couldn't see beyond that. And so I was just stuck in this place of, I would budget. I would write out this crazy budget that was intricate and detailed and convince myself that I was going to stick to it. And then something would happen and I would get, you know, set back. And then I would, you know, it was cyclical and it was really miserable for quite a long time. So I think I couldn't see past, I just don't make enough money and I'm not going to make enough money because I chose to be a social worker and that is not the highest paying job. And I have all these loans and all of these bills and I'm never going to get past, yeah, you know, that place. It's just going to be my life.
One of the things you and I used to butt heads about this because, we would have this conversation because I knew you were stressed about money. It was a massive stressor, probably the single biggest stressor in your life. But I, from my perspective, I totally understand social workers not making bank. And you live right around Boston, so living expenses are super high. You went to great schools and took loans to go there, so your student loans are crazy. I understand all of that. But from my perspective, I was also seeing that you were regularly going out having drinks with your friends. Nothing lavish. But, you know, if a musician that you loved was coming to town, you were buying concert tickets. And, you know, you had a social life that wasn't free. And I was sitting here a little bit further along having, I think, around that point in time already become, yeah, definitely had become debt free myself at that point in time, going like, well, yes, you don't make a lot. And yes, you do have high expenses. But yes, there is something you can do about it. I know you were afraid of missing out. You didn't want to miss out on the social stuff. You didn't want to miss out on living, especially because you were so stressed out. So you looked at this stress caused by money, and then you almost compounded the stress to escape the stress, but you couldn't see that at the time. And I know a lot of people that have written in questions are in a similar boat. So how did you, well, let's fast forward a little bit. How do you see it differently now? Because you're almost 2 years into still paying down your debt. This isn't something that's going to happen overnight for you. But what you seem less stressed to me, even though you did make some changes to your spending. So how has your perspective changed over the last couple of years related to money?
I think my mindset is now more of abundance. It's not that I can't afford it. I can afford it. I just am making intentional choices about how I'm spending my money. So, and I'm looking at when I look at my budget and I look at how much I assign to groceries, I'm not then going to Whole Foods and blowing that budget, you know, in one like shopping spree. I'm thinking about, okay, I'm going to go down the street to the much cheaper grocery store and spend, you know, half of that money. So it's kind of how I'm prioritizing things. And I think I just feel more in control. And I think because I've made progress and I've been able to see how when I make those intentional choices about how I spend my money and how I spend my time, that, you know, I've seen the balance go down to zero for several different things now. And also, I still have a social life. It's not that I'm staying at home and not making those choices. I'm just a lot more intentional about them, you know, and there will be times when I'll go into Target and I put all these things into my cart and then I'm at the checkout and I'm like, do I really need that? No, I really don't. Do I want it? Yeah, I do, but I don't need it. And so I'm going to put it aside. And I think before those things were just, you know, going right through the checkout. I wasn't asking myself that question. And now I'm much better at being able to catch myself in the moment and then make the choice that I know is going to be best for me and best for my success moving forward.
How do you handle this social life thing? Because I know for you, you have a lot of friends that are doctors. And you Debbie's a social worker and she hangs out with a lot of doctors. So undoubtedly, like, you have friends who have more financial means than you do. So how do you personally, now that you are prioritizing your financial stuff, instead of, and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like before you were kind of trying to keep up a little bit, not that you didn't ever think you had their money, but socially you wanted to kind of keep up with what everybody was doing and be able to kind of live that way. What have you changed and how do you handle that?
I mean, this is not a perfect system and I certainly wouldn't say that I have it all down right now. I think there's, you know, oftentimes still where I will go to dinner with my friends and kind of have a plan going in of how much I want to spend. And then at the end of the night, I've gone over that. And so that does still happen. But I think I'm much better at being able to just move on from it and kind of go on to the next day and be like, okay, that wasn't the best choice, but I can make another one moving forward and I'm going to make a better one.
So let's pause there for a second. Let's say that you exceed what you budgeted for eating out or socializing or however you've categorized it. And you wake up on a Monday morning and you're like, crap, there's two more weeks left in the month and I've already exceeded my budget. I know a lot of people are like, well, screw it, I blew it. How do you respond in a moment when you realize, whether because of a choice you made or maybe because like your car was in the shop? So that definitely was a little bit of a budget buster. What is your mental, internal thought process reaction to those times?
I think I'm asking myself, okay, how do I get back on track? Like, are there things, places where I can cut some things out? You know, can I readjust my spending? Or, you know, maybe I had plans to go out with friends the next week and then I realize, okay, nope, that's not a thing that I can now do. I have to change. Or just, you know what, maybe I wanted to go out the next night, but I'm going to stay in tonight. I think I work really hard to, you know, make most of my meals at home. I do, you know, make my coffee at home. So I think there are things that I'm doing on a regular basis that are kind of helping keep me aligned with that. And then I think I really also take another look at my budget and not just seeing where I can cut out, but also looking at the money that I know is coming in and then being much more intentional about, like, okay, I know that on Tuesday I'm going to have an extra $100 in there, and then I'm setting up a transfer that day for Tuesday so that I can start to pay off, you know, my next debt. So I think sometimes I'm trying to pair maybe what I would consider a poor choice in maybe my spending to then taking action on paying off the debt so that I think can be like, okay, I'm still making progress. This is not just right. Like an opportunity for me to be like, oh, well, so what? Now I just, you know, I'm going to blow it all.
One of the things that I've seen change in your behavior, you have historically been extremely generous, perhaps over generous, in gift giving. And we all love to make the people that we care about feel special. And there are, we all know those people that are like, dang, you know, they just are very, very generous, whether it's birthdays or it's holidays or that sort of thing. I have seen you make very intentional shifts related to celebrating people's birthdays or different holidays in an attempt to save money. What has shifted for you with that?
I think that was something that was really hard for me because I do really love gift giving, and I love to be really intentional about finding a gift that I feel like is going to be perfect for that person, that they're really going to appreciate. And I would put a lot of time and effort and energy into that process. And so it took me a while to recognize that I had to really dial it back. I think I would, when I would budget out, you know, how much I'm going to spend on family and friends for Christmas, like the number was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And then as I started to, you know, look at that a little bit more and recognize, okay, that is that's a big chunk of money that can go someplace else, I realized, okay, I really have to change how this looks. And I think it just was another one of those sort of conversations with myself about, okay, this is a place where I can cut back. It's not going to be that I'm cutting back forever. This is going to be a temporary process. And then when I get to the other side, when I am financially free, I'm going to have, you know, a lot more of an opportunity to be able to give in a way that I might want to give. And so this is just a temporary process for me to I make a lot of gifts. And so I do that now. I gave out coupon books to some family over the holidays because for me, I felt like giving an experience with someone else was going to be a lot more valuable than me going, you know, shopping online and buying something that I just thought was cool that they would like.
And when she says coupon books, she doesn't mean like 20% off at Target. It's like, this is good for one experience doing some service project together, or this is good for a hike together, or things like that. And it's really special and it's really fun. And I know, you know, like just, I think you gave one to Mom, mm-hmm. and she really, really loved it. And it was really special. So that sort of thing is free. And I mean, people respect that you're trying to get out of debt. And so nobody's like, oh, Debbie didn't buy me something. It's very much coming from a place of we have nothing but respect for the financial discipline that she is showing. I'd love to know, because this, you know, question comes up all the time. From a tactical standpoint, I said that I used a piece of paper and a notebook. How do you budget? Like, what does that actually look like? Do you have a software that you use? Do you, you know, what is your process?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I'm pretty old school. So in the notebook is definitely where it happens. And I think I probably have a notebook that just has all numbers in it. That's all about budgeting. And I think it is a living document. So it is something that I constantly have to go back to. And I think, you know, inevitably there are times when I'm looking at, okay, do I really need to be spending, you know, money on Netflix? Nope, I don't. So I don't have Netflix. Do I need to have Amazon Prime? Nope, I don't. So that is something that goes, right? And so I think for me, that is the easiest way to do it. I just am someone who likes to, you know, write it all out by hand. And so that is what works for me. I know that there's a ton of apps and softwares and things like that out there. But that's the best way for me to do it.
And you are presently also taking a Dave Ramsey approach of your smallest debt gets your extra money. You're still making minimum payments on everything else, but everything extra goes towards the smallest debt. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, guys. So we are now at the 50-minute mark. So what we are going to do is we are going to break here for this episode. And then in the next episode, answer your questions. And so to give a sense of what we will be talking about in the next episode, things like, where do you start if you've been ignoring your financial problems? How to pay off debt and save at the same time? How to manage in a relationship when somebody is a spender versus a saver? A bunch of people wrote in and said, I only earn enough to cover my essentials. There were a lot of questions about student loans and budgeting for personal desires. How to expand your sources of income. And guilt related to spending. So there are a lot of questions about tactics as well as mindset, and we will get into those on the next episode. In the meantime, go over to primalpotential.com/521 if you want to check out Dave Ramsey's book, Total Money Makeover. If you're like, I'm not going to buy a book now, great, go to the library, where I don't know if you've heard about this cool library concept, but it's actually free. So you can read all you want. As long as you give it back, it is free to you. And then on Thursday's episode, we are going to dive into your questions. And there are some great ones, especially one that I'm really, really excited to talk about is somebody wrote that they're faced between paying down their debt and eating healthy and what my thoughts are on that. I cannot wait to get into that. So definitely do not miss the next episode, episode 522, because we will for sure be answering your questions there, which means you've got time. If you've got questions, go ahead and go to primalpotential.com/521. If you've got questions based on what Debbie and I shared today, let me know and I'll share my thoughts. Have a great day, guys. Thank you, Debbie, so much for being here. Any last thoughts on money for people that are maybe in the position that you were at a couple years ago, feeling like, don't talk to me about it. I don't make enough money. My debts are crazy. I'm just getting by. Any final thoughts?
I think, yeah, what I would say is it is absolutely possible for you to do it. And that it really, it's one step at a time. And I think you got to start somewhere. And if you just start, then it's gonna happen.
It's the same as if somebody said, there's no point in trying because I'm 350 pounds and it's going to take so long and it's going to be so hard. Yeah. And it's also going to be so worth it. Now that you're 2 years into it and it hasn't been easy and it does take daily discipline, is it worth it?
Absolutely.
100%.
Why?
I think because of how I feel. You know, like you said before, that was something that was stressing me out on a daily basis, even if it wasn't. You know, if I wasn't looking at my debt or looking at, you know, spending every day, I felt it every day. And I think now that I am 2 years in and feeling pretty good about it, I don't feel stressed about it every day. And I can see the end and I can't wait.
All right, guys, stay tuned for the next episode. Have a great day and I'll chat with you soon. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.